If you would be kind enough to turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. The title of this message is The Highway of Hell, part 5, the last part. And we will be dealing with those who are disobedient to the gospel. We're there? 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the church, to us. Since it is a righteous thing that God, with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. It is very important that we understand that God is not joking any longer with His church. We've had a word come forth. God has given me a word for the church, and not only for our church, but Pastor Park's church. And that is Ezekiel 47. And He is demanding, not giving us option, He is demanding that we go deeper. For those who do not want to go deeper with God, they will be consumed. That's just the way it is. God says He is a consuming fire, and He will consume. And if you know anything about Ezekiel 47, God is exhorting His people to get into the deepest part of the river, because that's where the Spirit is, and that's where life is. Our carnality will only bring us death. And so God is speaking to two people, two types of people. And this is a very difficult message for me, because I understand the wrath of God, and I understand that we can try to use our logic as best as we can, but the facts remain that if you're for God, you don't have nothing to sweat. But if you're against Him, you got much to worry about. He talks about two people, those who do not know God and those who are disobedient or who say they know God. And we can see that in these days, the lines of demarcation are becoming very, very apparent. It's true. The Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Jesus Christ, is separating itself from the things of the world, because they realize that our only sanctuary is in the life of the Spirit. Romans tells us this: those who follow after the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of the Spirit of God. And we have to understand that we in this country do not fully understand about kingdom. And I've tried to explain to you in very simple and almost redundant terms what it means to be a kingdom citizen, to be the elect of God, and to live according to the way He says we're to live, not according to the way we think or feel or just because. Those who don't know God, it's really interesting, because if any of you have had any kind of conversation with people who don't know God, it's real interesting to find out what their concept of God is. Even the atheist, I find, is really great conversation. It is. It's cool. Because they profess they don't know God, and that's great. Because God says, I'd rather be hot or cold, but don't sit on the fence. And this is what this message is about. It's to all fence sitters. Okay? And that's not saying that we aren't struggling with things, but when our lifestyle remains the same and we've compromised our position, do we know God? Do we know Him? Or do we know about Him? And those who don't know God know a lot about God. They know that He's a God of judgment. They know that He's a God of love. But they don't know that He's a God of mercy and grace, because what they see is God as this ogre who's ready to beat you down and punish you, failing to understand the realities of it, that God gives us a free will to choose. It's your choice and my choice whether we're going to follow the Lord or not. But understand that every decision that is made affects our eternal existence. The consequences of our sin affects us now and forever. Just like our decisions to live and walk in holiness and in His righteousness affects our eternal position. And now. Those who do not know God, it's impossible for them to please God. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. They even think at times that they are God. Now, I've never run across one of those guys yet, but you know what? I'm praying that God gives me the opportunity, because I'm going to ask Him to perform miracles. I am. I'm going to challenge Him, because if you're God, you can do anything, right? Let me see you levitate. Oh, you're still there. Okay. Let me see. Let's go to the hospital. Let me see you raise the people out of the beds of sickness. Oh, can't. Why? Because it's metaphysical or whatever, you know. What's the deal? The truth of it is, they don't desire God. They don't want God. And so what they do is they follow after what is instinctive to them is our sin nature. They don't even believe, some people I've talked with, don't even believe in the original sin condition that all of us are born into. And it doesn't matter how much I converse with them and how much I try to explain to them. Even to the point I watch their little kids running around like these wild animals, and I'm like, that's sin. You don't have to learn it, you just act it. And they're like, oh no, you know. My education tells me that little Johnny needs to express himself. Well, little Johnny's going to express himself, and he's going to terrorize the neighborhood, and then eventually he's going to be a mass murderer if you don't begin to bring him into righteousness. I mean, I'm using an extreme, but you know what? The fact of the matter is, that happens. And I'm trying to use it in an extreme to make people understand that this is not something we joke around with. This is a reality that I think, especially in America, that we can do whatever we want because, after all, I'm under grace. I have a free will. God loves me. And He does. He doesn't love your sin. And that's the reality of us sharing the good news of the kingdom of God, God making a provision for His people, that if you believe and surrender to Him and then live according to the way He wants you to live, you are successful. You have been taken off that highway to hell, and you are now on the path to ascending the mountain of God. And you want to bring as many people along as you can. That's really the gist of it. And yet people want to blame God or run from God or deny God. But the fact of it is that whatever an excuse they want to make, because they don't know God, the truth of it is God does not know them. It's one thing to know about God, but do you know God? According to Matthew 7:22. Do you know God? Do you really know God? For those who don't, doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And we're here to convince them. Our vision is to reach unchurched, unsaved. But the church is still dealing with sin issues that should have been arrested a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. But because we're so infantile in our belief system that we can't believe that once we die to something, God can resurrect us into a new creation. Well, Pastor, you know, you don't understand my struggles. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And because you don't understand the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, as the word went forth today, you deny the very one who's died to save your soul and my soul. That's the truth. I was talking with Holly the other night and I said, when the people of God realize how much dynamite is contained within them, and this year, we are going to light the wick. This year, you're going to find out how to be plugged in and stay plugged in and walk around as little Christ, as the first church did. You may be saying, well, Pastor, you know, you've not preached messages that are pertinent to my psyche and my need right now. If you understand anything about the gospel, it's not about you. It's not about your needs, your wants, or your desires. It's about what the King wants. And He has equipped every person who lays name and claim to Him with dunamis power that is to be released to win people to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And if I'm emphatic about it, you better believe it. I have lived long enough to want to see God's purposes come forth in His people. And you should want that too. You should want to desire to be all you can. And the whole thing is that, you know, you may think that I'm harsh. Well, let me tell you something. There was a commercial I heard on the radio the other day that makes so much sense. And it's from the world. It talks about, this guy's talking about sales. And he says, you know, we offer out this package of sales to make you better and make you reach those customer bases and make you successful. The key word is make. Jesus said, go and make disciples. I am about making people into the image of Jesus Christ. That is what I'm about. That's what I talk and live and breathe. I supply. I disciple in. And if you don't want to be discipled, I kick you to the curb. Ask the guys that's been discipled. I'm not about wasting the King's time. I'm about utilizing those people that God has placed in our midst, help them to get into a position of success, and then become successful. But if you're not about that, then why are you here? Really, that's the truth of it. The Church of Jesus Christ is going through a metamorphosis even at this moment. The real Church of Jesus Christ is a remnant of what it is in the world. And that remnant are people who want to possess the King, and the King possess them totally. And believe me, I'm already off script of to what God has given to me. I understand that God's leading me on something, but I want to emphasize some important things here to you. When we receive grace, those who do not know God feel that they can earn their position with God. Like, you know, we can be real good about stuff, or it's kind of like Jesus and, or Jesus or. It's not. It's Jesus. And according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, it's a free gift of God, lest any man boast. It's a free gift. You receive it by faith. You walk this thing out by faith. And guess what? When you put God to the test, that when you pray for the sick and you command healing to come forth and life to come forth, guess what? He shows up and does it. Because He wants us, according to Ephesians 2:10, and Ephesians is the only book in the Bible I really love because it talks about how to build people. and how to build the church and how God uses the church and the people to infiltrate and make a difference in the world. But according to Ephesians 2:10, he says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So why are the church, the people of the church, still meandering and fumbling in this stuff that doesn't have any consequences? Oh, my life is in the sewer. Well, take responsibility for your life. Well, I'm waiting for God to do something. You're going to wait till the cows come home. I can't tell you that when you got saved, you were not in abdication of responsibility for your life. And obviously, people get saved and that's all they want. They want to get saved. You get saved not by your good works. You get saved to do good works. And God empowers the church to do these good works. And the first good work is taking responsibility of me, taking dominion of me, and casting out sin. That is the first work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said the job of the Holy Spirit is to tell them about me, convict them, to remind them of the things I've told you, and to empower you in this victory, to appropriate the grace of Jesus Christ to become this walking, talking atom bomb that doesn't ever run out of power as long as you're plugged into Him. That's the key. Remember, it all goes back to this. It's redundant, but it is true. If I am in Jesus Christ, I stop my work. What's my work? I worry about my job. I worry about my kids. They're not yours, they're His. You've only got the right to care for them for a little bit. That's what the Bible says. Take it up with Him. If you're running around worrying about all this nonsense that doesn't have any pertinence to who you are and what you were created for, you are defeated and you're outside the will of God. Do I get an amen? That's the truth. But the moment I come into that light and I take my position, according to Hebrews, it's the Bible tells me that there is a day destined for the people of God to enter into His rest. When I stop doing my sin, when I stop doing the things that I think is important, when I stop that nonsense and start maintaining my position, fending that junk off, I take the scepter of authority that He has given to me and I use the power of His Spirit and then I move out, taking the kingdom of light with me, dispensing with the kingdom of darkness. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, then you will observe those who will. And that's a generation. That is the Joshua generation that is being raised up. My generation has gotten all the beauty of the restoration. Your generation is going to take the promise and cross over the Jordan. And the Jordan, remember, I said it was a position of decision. You are brought to a position today to make a decision once and for all. You're either going to enter in with me or you're going to be lost in the desert. Those are your options today. And I'm not asking you to step up here and enter into this. You can run away from God. You can do whatever you want. The fact of the matter remains that God is going to be glorified in His saints because that's what the Word says. Now, that's those who don't believe. What about those who are disobedient to the gospel? Turn to John 14. I need a tissue. Thank you. John 14. Where we are going, church, is we are not going to be dealing with first fruits or the first doctrines according to Hebrews 6. We're not going to deal with the elementary elements of the gospel any longer. We're not going to deal with baptisms and repentance and raising of the dead. We're not going to deal with that. If you want to deal with it, get into your scriptures and read and see. These are the elements that no longer concern us. We know them, but that's just foundation. Now what is coming on the Church of Jesus Christ, and I am telling you as the prophet of God, what is coming is power. And you need to maintain your position of righteousness that Jesus Christ fought to give to you. And that means fending off sin. That means taking up your cross and dying daily. Because the moment you die to something, power comes. Satan also comes and he tempts you. What are you going to do? Is there a column C that I take? No. You've got two choices here. There is no neutral. It is, I will falter in my commitment to Jesus Christ, or I will appropriate the victory that he has won for me, and I am going to kick the Satan's teeth in and walk all over him once and for all. Sickness and death will not have any dominion over me. Sin has no dominion over me. Why? Because I'm dead. We are dead men walking in the power and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what the Word says. And Paul says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Why? You look at the book of Acts and you see what the church did. 11 people turned the world upside right. And in less than 100 years, fell back. And then Peter preached the message in the second chapter of Acts when he said, in the last days, where are we at? We're in the last day now. Believe me, we're in the last day. In the last days, when God restores all things as though they were from the first. From the first means from Adam. In the last days, He's going to restore from the days of Adam. Did Adam have dominion? Did he have power? Did he have authority? He did. And so is the Church of Jesus Christ right now. It is the people of God that have to appropriate this. Back to John. John 14, 15 says, this is the Lord, our Master, our King. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is not an option. This is a command. If you love him, keep my commandments. It's real simple. Do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love him so much. Then why don't you keep his commandments? You love yourself more than you love Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And believe me, I've got stepped on this message from the beginning. And it's very difficult for me because he's telling me to go deeper. So it doesn't matter where you are. It matters that you get to this position of righteousness and you maintain it. Once you have victory and appropriated that victory, now you go and take the land with your brothers and sisters, not by yourself. You see, this is not a one-man army. It's not like how they're advertised. Be all you can be in the army. No. Jesus Christ is the head, according to Ephesians 2. We are his body. And everything is under our feet. I don't see one cell moving out by itself, doing whatever it feels like doing, whatever it wants. That's called cancer. And Jesus is cutting that cancer out of his body. He will not have it. He will not tolerate it. This is not made for make-believers. This is real. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, this is where we grapple with our sin issues. This is where we come together in all its grandeur. And we submit it before God. We get clean before God. And then we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit come upon the people of God to heal us from all our sickness and disease so that we can go out there with the light of the gospel. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. James 4:17 says, Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Romans 6 says, what shall I say? Verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? How can you name the name of Jesus Christ and still live in your sin? How do you expect God to bless you when you are not even maintaining the precious position of authority that He gave to you? There's only two reasons why things are happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. One, because of our sin, and God is allowing Satan to eat and corrupt us. Or two, it is our disobedience. And we have to understand that in either case, God's perfect will be done. And as the word came forth today, it's coming with fire. He is a jealous God, and He Himself will consume. He will consume us. He wants us to be so consumed with Him that when the fire comes, it doesn't touch us. Isn't that what the Word says? When you find yourself in the fire, I am there in the midst with you. When you find yourself in the floods, am I not in the midst of you? He hides us, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He was in there to protect them and to have fellowship through the trial that is going through. Us running away and trying to say, oh, you know what, this is just too hard. You're nuts. It's just you don't want to die. That's the fact. It is not hard. What's hard is you want to wrestle with God. And the only person I knew that wrestled with God was Jacob. And he had his hip taken out. He said to him, I'm not going to do anything unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go. Are you going to fight with God for the blessing, or are you just going to give up and take the morsels of crumbs that are falling from Satan's plate? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to take that plate. We're going to take that table. We're going to take everything that God has given to us today and every day after that. Because I know the power of my God. I know the authority of my God. And I'm telling you, you will too. And you will not be satisfied any longer with the morsels that Satan's been throwing at you. Here, eat on these crumbs. Jesus didn't die on a cross just for our sins. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead to justify us, according to Romans 4:25. You have been justified or counted not guilty, but you become guilty the moment you refuse to maintain your position. What happens to army soldiers that go AWOL? What happens to them? Are they not punished? What happens to those who run from the battlefield? Are they not killed by their own troops? And believe me, I could tell you story upon story about those incidences that exactly happened to those type of people. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die knowing who's in my foxhole with me. But that moment that person jumps out of my foxhole and runs away, I'm going to turn around and kill you first. I am. I'm not going to risk my skin just so you can run around being safe. And that's the problem of too many churches today. They have a hospital mentality and soothing of the soul. It is not that. We need to die to our sin. We need to die to our wants and desires. And we need to live for Jesus Christ in the Spirit 24/7. That is our only hope, church. That's our only hope, is Jesus Christ. And some of us have made tremendous advances. Some of us have begun to catch the vision of seeing that, you know what, there's something greater than me. And I want to be a part of that. I want to have the opportunity to serve my God in such a way that, you know what, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what my friends say about me. It doesn't matter how inconvenienced I am. what matters is that He created me for good works. And part of that good works is preaching the good news. Setting captives free. Healing the sick and brokenhearted. Having compassion on those things. Sound familiar? Kind of like Isaiah 63? If Jesus Christ, who is called the Anointed One, was anointed and said to them, "The Spirit of God has come upon me to preach the good news." What was that good news? About the kingdom of heaven. The reasons for preaching it: to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free, to preach the day of judgment. When was the last time you were in a church or heard a sermon about the judgment of God? Let me read another scripture to you. Oh, it's in here. The severity of God. We want the grace of God, but we forget about the severity of God. We want grace and we want mercy, but we don't want to do what God says. Well, let me give you a picture of concerning, you know, one aspect of those who are disobedient to God and those who are obedient to God. As long as we are obedient to God and doing those things that He has said to us to do, there is no wonderment of fear or trembling because we know how good God is, right? But have you taken the time to think about the severity of God? Two people came out of Egypt out of 2.5 million people to enter into the promised land. Two. I'd say that was pretty severe, wouldn't you? We were grafted in. The day Jesus Christ died, and the day you believed and I believed, we were grafted in. It is not a guarantee that we will stay there. Scripture talks about the parable of the soils, that some started out good and fell away. Others had good soil and they maintained it. Jesus cursed the fig tree from the root up because there was nothing of substance to that tree. Jesus told us that if you do not produce good fruit, you will be cut off and thrown into the fire. These are Jesus' words, not mine. If we're not producing good fruit and we're not producing any fruit, then we're producing bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Or did I say that right? A good tree produces bad fruit. I said it right? Thank you. The issue here is what kind of tree are you? The issue here is what kind of fruit is being produced in your life. Because no fruit and bad fruit, you're going to get hacked off and thrown into the fire. Only those who produce good fruit. And I don't think the Church of Jesus Christ understands the severity of it. Romans 8:13 says, if we follow after the sinful nature, we will die. We will die. Giving into my wants and desires, I am going to die. I am separated from God. I lose my position. And I have to repent and get it under the blood. If I don't repent and get it under the blood, I am separated from God. And the longer I stay separated, according to Hebrews 10:25, how can you, who have tasted the goodness of God and the powers of the kingdom to come, turn away and tread upon the blood? There will be no forgiveness because you treat the blood of Christ as unholy. I know we all mess up. I know we're not perfect, and God is not looking for our perfection. He will do that as we are obedient to what He tells us to do. But turn to Romans 11. 11:22. I want you to see it for yourself. says, consider the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue. Provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. You see, it's predicated on us continuing with him. It is not once saved, always saved. You're saved, and then you must grow up. That is what is happening here. Church, I want to exhort you. I want to exhort you out of your position where you are. If you are separated from God because of your sin, you know what you need to do. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to exhort you out of that position so that you can maintain your position, then get plugged in and allow the power of God to flow through you. But nobody wants to listen to somebody who's already compromised. You need to take responsibility for your life. You need to stop making excuses, blaming other people. You need to lead yourself before you can lead another woman. That's the truth. Women are looking for men. They're not looking for boys. Boys they can control, and men they try to manipulate. But men of God understand that, and they stand up for him and his righteousness. What do you want to do? If you haven't figured it out yet, then you need to come and talk to me. Ladies, stop manipulating. Stop trying to control. Leave them to their own devices. You do what God has told you to do. You have a role to play, and it's not taking care of whoever. Put their person next to them. That is the truth. You are there to help, but you are not there to serve as a slave to them because they're unwilling to be a man, let alone a man of God. That's a hard word. It's hard to hear. But you know what? That's the word of the Lord. Because in this day, there's too many mamby-pamby people. There are not enough men and women who will stand up for righteousness. They will not stand up for the Lord. They will not stand in the power and glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can't understand why. I mean, I can, because the world has such an allurement to that. But you know what? I've told you, the church is suffering from ADD, and you need to refocus. Get off your drugs of sin and get refocused on the Lord. You don't need another chemical. What you need is him to reconstruct your spirit in such a way that you walk around full of faith. This is a faith walk, church. And it starts today with you. And you know what? You already know it. You already know it. So again, just like Joshua, you choose. You choose who you're going to serve. You're not going to serve yourself. You're going to continue to serve a wicked taskmaster who's going to keep you on the highway to hell. Or you're going to get off your treadmill, get off your duff, take responsibility, and become all that God has created you to be in Jesus Christ. You are Satan's worst nightmare, and you don't even realize it. How can I say that? Because I know the assault that is assailing my household and everybody that's in it. Because he does not want you to finally realize who you are and the power that you have. He tried to keep you from coming to the gospel. The gospel has come in. He's trying to keep you from a relationship of knowing who you are in God. Now he's trying to keep you from the power and authority that is yours in Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? Like I said, as for me and my house and those who want to hook their wagon up and lock arms with me, we're going to serve God. And you're going to die in the desert because we are not waiting for you any longer. That's the facts. Amen? Take it up with God. I have. You know, I spend December seeking God and what